evil partners are destroying the deep state criminal power structure that has ruled over our planet for hundreds of years.
We are free with the God-given right, and we shall not yield that right to any power on earth.
Hi, I'm Scott McKay. The world is at, and I am your host on The Tipping Point. On Revolution Radio, where every Monday from 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern, we bring you the latest in this ensuing takedown of this global criminal empire.
That's an image of strength.
You'll get the raw, hard truth here on The Tipping Point. So come join us Mondays, 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern, in Studio B at revolution.radio.
This is the People's War. It is our war. We are the fighters. Fight it, then. Fight it with all that is in us. And may God defend the right.
Warning! Warning!
We've got to stop them! They're going to kill us all!
See how the trouble you've started?
Be they a government, be they industry, be they organized labor, be they anyone or human being.
A time when the operation of the machine becomes so odious. Makes you so sick at heart that you can't take part. You can't even passively take part. And you've got to put your bodies upon the gears and upon the wheels, upon the levers, upon all the apparatus, and you've got to make it stop. And you've got to indicate to the people who run it, to the people who own it, that unless you're free, the machine will be prevented from working at all.
Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported talk radio station, throwing ourselves upon the gears of the machine. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
You called down the thunder, well now you've got it.
Ray, you tell them I'm coming, and hell's coming with me, you hear? Hell's coming with me!
Revolution Radio!
Insanity runs in my family. Practically gallops.
No stems, no seeds that you don't need. Acapulco Gold is.
This is James, the most acid I've ever seen anybody eat in my life. Wow, man!
Fire it up, Holmes!
I'll have to get a job, Spicoli.
What for?
You need money.
Oh, all I need are some tasty waves, cool buzz, and I'm fine.
Welcome and thanks for tuning in to Revolution Radio. And now it's time for that feral hippie herself, an infotartic, esoteric, eclectic mix of the adventures of that feral hippie, Miss Mona Radler.
What are you people? On dope?
That was my skull! I'm so wasted!
Make a move and the money gets it.
Same time here.
All right, Mona, it's all yours. Take it away.
Go! Don't even try it. You ever have one of those days you just like to tell everybody to get off their fucking ass and be well with others? Well, that's how I feel today. Nobody thinks about the repercussions of their actions. Nobody gives a damn about that either. And then when it happens, they play stupid, dumb, and an idiot. It's pretty simple to follow through with what you're doing. There's so much unconsciousness going around that I really wish to hell that they would just follow simple protocols. Less things would be getting hurt. Less things would be getting destroyed. Less battles and fights with other people who live in the same house. I am so over idiots, dipshits, and dumb fucks. I really am. All right. I'm trying to calm down. I'm trying to be here, be the nice little Mona that I am. But it's kind of hard when you live with a bunch of idiots. Welcome. We're here at freedomslips.com, revolution.radio. It is the 28th day of June, 2022. This is one of the reasons why two people are being evicted out of this house, because they have no idea how to live with other people. And I don't like being mean. I don't like being upset. I don't like having to be angry at people. They don't want to see me get any more angrier than I already am. They don't. They really don't. Like, there's not enough to worry about and go around while things are happening.
Hey there, friends. I've released two videos on the food processing plants in the United States mysteriously catching fire over the past year. And I thought I'd just combine those two videos to create a comprehensive list of incidents between 2021 and June, almost July 2022. Right now, this very moment, mainstream media is running segments and articles around the clock to fact check and debunk this information, saying there's no evidence to suggest that these fires were premeditated in order to create national famine. And that's kind of like when an abusive partner gaslights you. I mean, our own president came out and warned us about food shortages due to lockdown over the past 2 years, you know? Supply chain issues and world war. Canadian Prime Minister Justin Trudeau, around the same time, came out and said the same thing about impending food shortages. The FBI came out in April with a publication warning about increased cyber attack threats on agricultural institutions. And yet, mainstream media around the clock runs these articles covering these fires at food processing plants at a rate they haven't in years previous. And then they have the audacity to turn around and say there's no evidence that these fires are intentional. Even those ones that happened last week, which are still under investigation, yeah, don't even ask about it. They're not intentional. And of course, online they censor any information about these fires on social media and they call it a conspiracy theory. Me, I'm not into abusive relationships. I specifically avoid those in my life. I think the most sensible approach is to give a person the information and let them decide for themselves what's going on. Because everyone who is watching right now is capable of discernment. So as you watch the falling and give it consideration, here are my questions. Are these fires intentional? Are these fires coincidental? Is there a pattern forming that we should pay attention to? Is our food supply being sabotaged? If so, who is sabotaging it and why? Or is all of this a distraction from a larger issue? Hey, Internet friends. Here on this channel, we've been cataloging the strange happenings of our world for some time now. Within the span of the past year, one of the world's largest ships jammed up the Suez Canal for nearly a week. The Suez Canal being one of the world's most important trading routes. The price of fertilizers for crops have hit an all-time high. Bill Gates became the largest farmland owner in the United States. World leaders announced impending food shortages due to the war in Ukraine, with Russia and Ukraine making up more than 30% of the global wheat market, and they're considered the breadbasket of Europe. Followed by reports of the bird flu in the United States over the past month, forcing farmers to kill millions of egg-laying poultry. All of these aforementioned incidents have driven up the price of items at your grocery store. But now we shift our focus to the most recent series of strange events contributing to this price hike and potential shortage. Wondering, is it all a coincidence or something more? In some ways, it's like the ship getting stuck in the Suez was just the start, just the beginning of all these recent supply chain issues. And really, it's only escalated from there. In the last 6 months, around 20 U.S. food processing facilities have burned down. I'm going to lay them out on a timeline for you so we can look at the data and decide for ourselves if something is going on here or if there's really nothing to see, we can just move along. January 12th, 2021, Fayetteville, Illinois. The Deli Store Corporation, a processor of deli meat for military and commercial use, was destroyed by fire. No details on how the fire started. April 11, 2021. A cooker at the plant caught the whole Tyson poultry plant on fire. It went up in flames. July 26, 2021. Memphis, Tennessee. A 3-alarm fire breaks out at the Kellogg cereal plant. Reports say fire started in the rice dryer. August 2, 2021, Hanceville, Alabama. Fire damages Tyson-owned feed ingredients plant. The poultry meal plant received significant damage in a fire that was said to be sparked by animal byproducts and grease. August 24, 2021, Patak's Meat Products in Cobb County, Georgia. A fire broke out at the factory, causing severe damage. I've actually been to the retail store many years ago. It's a community staple, but it was a total loss. September 13th, 2021, Grand Island, Nebraska. The headline reads, 5-alarm fire at JBS Beef Plant. The Grand Island Fire Department reported that the roof was on fire around 10 p.m. that night. October 20th, 2021, Tar Heel, North Carolina. A fire at the Smithfield Foods Plant, allegedly started by an employee named Latasha Biddle, who set fire to the break area. Well, she came back in 2 days later with a hammer and vandalized cars, screaming about how she was going to burn down the plant and shoot the place up before fleeing. She eventually turned herself in on an unrelated charge. November 29th, 2021, Scotts Township, Pennsylvania. The headline reads, fire erupts at a meat processing facility in Lackawanna County. No further details. December 13th, 2021, San Antonio, Texas. $100,000 of fire damage occurred to a food processing plant where a cooler had caught fire. So now we're getting into 2022. January 14th, LeCompte, Louisiana. A fire started at the Cargill Nutrina feed mill in Louisiana and burned for 12 hours. Reports of explosion seen and heard. January 31st, Winston-Salem, North Carolina. A fire tore through a fertilizer plant on the night of January 31st and continued into the next day, forcing thousands living near the plant to evacuate their homes and a university to cancel classes. Every household within a one-mile radius was asked to evacuate because of the high chance of explosion. More than 6,500 residents were in the evacuation radius. All right, now here is where it gets interesting. If you look at the data starting in February 2022, you're going to start to notice a trend of these fires occurring more and more frequently, which is why I wanted to lay all this out on a timeline anyway. On February 3rd, Mauston, Wisconsin. Wisconsin River Meats warehouse was engulfed in fire, the old portion of the building a total loss. No details on how the fire was started. February 16th, Claypool, Indiana. The LDC said that a fire had broken out at the largest U.S. soybean processing and biodiesel plant. The cause of the fire was cited as undetermined. February 22nd, Hermiston, Oregon. A major explosion at a potato chip factory in northwest Oregon resulted in 6 injuries, and they reported that it could hurt the supply of chips to the west coast. Local news reports that a portable natural gas boiler exploded, causing a dramatic fire. And local firefighters said that it was the largest blaze in that area that they'd seen in a decade. March 17th, Jonesboro, Arkansas. A Hot Pockets and frozen food Nestle plant was shut down after a fire broke out in the afternoon. Firemen battled it all night, but eventually abandoned the fight because of structural concern. March 18th, Plainfield, Indiana. I wanted to include this in here too, like I've included fertilizer factory stories as well, because it all seems related. So this was a major fire at a Walmart distribution center, and inside were a variety of items, food, clothing, electronics, you know. This was such a tremendous fire that burned for days, and no one knows what caused it. 200 firefighters worked together to put it out, and these were firefighters from 30 surrounding agencies that responded to this fire. March 24th, Belfast, Maine. It took firefighters from 10 surrounding communities to control the blaze that took over the McCrum potato processing plant. April 13th, Conway, New Hampshire. Firefighters battled a fire at East Conway Beef and Pork for 16 hours, managed to rescue the cattle even though the meat market was destroyed. April 19th, this is another one in Oregon at the headquarters of Azure Standard, the nation's premier independent distributor of organic and healthy food. It was destroyed by fire overnight. There were no injuries. The cause of the fire is unknown. April 20th, Leote, Kansas. The Nutrient Agricultural Solutions fertilizer plant caught fire. No further details. April 21st, Covington, Georgia. A plane crashed near the General Mills plant, which, you know, makes cereal. It's a global food company. There were no survivors of this plane crash. Not a lot of details are known about what happened. So that concludes the timeline. You know, I'm always interested to hear your thoughts on this. I do have some lingering questions here, which led me to running a couple of searches to compare the number of plant fires, food plant fires, year to year to see if this past year had an unusual amount or not. You know, like, are we focusing on this just because people are tweeting it? Are we focused? It was on Tucker Carlson. This question was brought up, and I wanted to know year to year, like, what it looked like. How many food plants in the United States burn down year to year? Is this an anomaly? So in 2019, this is our sample year in the United States, it would appear that there was a major fire at Newlywed Foods Factory in Chicago in April and one at a Kansas Tyson Foods beef plant in August. So two food plant fires that are coming up in the search for 2019. So let's compare 2019 to this past year, not counting the fertilizer fires and the Walmart distribution center fire. On our timeline we just went over, I have listed 18 incidents of food plants on fire from January 2021 to April 21st, 2022 in this video. April 22nd, nearly 3.5 million chickens were destroyed because of avian flu in Lancaster County, Pennsylvania. Throughout this video, you're going to notice an uptick in the amount of chickens that are being killed as we continue on, like to the tune of millions and millions of chickens and turkeys and ducks in the United States. To quote, stop the spread of avian flu. And it's curious to me because prepared and cooked poultry and eggs infected with avian flu are apparently safe to eat. So did they really have to go and kill all those chickens for nothing?
No.
Like, just waste them all?
Right.
What, was Hillary's backyard chicken sacrifice to Moloch not enough? We needed millions more. Hi, hon. Can you fact check that for us, Mackenzie? PolitiFact just published an article raging over this 95-item list of food processing plant fires and poultry culling, saying that while the whole list is true, it's absolutely not intentional. These fires were not set intentionally. There's no evidence. Really, you guys are just mean conspiracy theorists spreading dangerous conspiracies on the internet. And the same people who brought down strong nations and empires of the past would never starve millions of people to death to get control over a country. Never. April 28th was apparently a terrible day to be a chicken because in Iowa, 5.3 million egg-laying chickens were killed and 200 workers were fired at Rembrandt Farms, owned by billionaire Glenn Taylor. Side note, in the month of May, a ton of chickens, ducks, and turkeys were destroyed or killed due to the avian flu. I'm not going to go through each instance individually, but I will provide the list that puts them on a timeline. Okay, back to it. On May 2nd in Ruston, Mississippi, a fire broke out at a chicken farm in Jones County. It took out two chicken houses and completely destroyed, like, the roofs, the chicken houses, everything. On May 19th, a freight train carrying limestone derailed in Jensen Beach, Florida. I included this on here because in a farm setting, lime will raise the pH of the soil and reduce the concentration of toxic aluminum, so it's very important for growing crops. 10 days later, on May 29th, a fire killed an estimated hundreds of thousands of egg-laying chickens at Forsman Farms in Howard Lake, Minnesota. According to the Forsman Farms website, the farm started in 1918, and now the fourth-generation family farm sells more than 3 million eggs a day to some of the nation's largest retailers. With this next one, it's not on the master list that's going around, but I personally wanted to add it because it affected a major resource for farmers. On May 31st, an irrigation equipment manufacturer in Wadena, Minnesota caught fire and the warehouse burned for 2 days. The building was being used by Minnesota Valley Irrigation for storage and equipment operations. Moving into June, a fire occurred at the JBS meatpacking plant in Green Bay with nearly $30,000 in damage. A day later, on June 8th, firefighters responded to a fire at the Purina feed mill in Arcola, Illinois. Then on June 9th, a major announcement took place. Officials said to combat drought, irrigation water was canceled in California, which is the number one producer of food in the United States. So officials are barring certain cities and farms from diverting river water. River water, which was used for farmlands that grow almonds, pistachios, grapes, alfalfa for cattle, other crops, farmers basically can't use that water anymore. And the director of water resources for the California Farm Bureau said that he hopes that these cuts don't lead to food shortages or significant hikes in food prices, because he really doesn't want to rely on China or Mexico or South America to supply food to the United States. Then, a day later on June 10th, more cuts occurred in California. This time at the Smithfield Foods in Vernon, they process pork, they process hogs. They're owned by Hong Kong-based conglomerate WH Group. And Smithfield is the largest pork processor in the country by volume. They said that production costs were just too high and they shut down the plant. On June 13th, a fire occurred in Belmont, Wisconsin at the Festive Foods Processing Facility, which deals mainly in frozen food items. Those were so many F words in a row. I don't know how I just got through it, but basically the frozen food plant caught on fire. And then we arrive at the big news of yesterday, June 15th. When footage of thousands of dead cows emerged on TikTok, a TikToker by the name of Barbie Doll Henderson 1973 posted a video showing thousands of cattle dead and being piled up and lined up with a bobcat. News outlets reported on this video, but as of yet, they cannot verify that the deaths of these cows were related to the heat wave or even where the video was taken. So keep that in mind as I talk about this. But basically, the United States has seen extreme temperatures for the last couple of days, and on June 13th, the temperatures reached 108 Fahrenheit in southwest Kansas. Matthew Laura, spokesperson for the Kansas Department of Health and Environment, told reporters that at least 2,000 cattle have died due to high temperatures and humidity as of June 14th. And that 2,000 figure comes from facilities that are helping ranchers dispose of the dead bodies. But my question is, it's hot everywhere, so why aren't cattle dying everywhere? Hello, this is Editing Grace. There's just an update here. The number is now closer to 10,000 cattle. So just to summarize, our administration has warned us of food shortages. Food prices are at an all-time high. After all these fires have broken out at these facilities, the FBI's cyber division published a notice warning about increased cyber attack threats on agricultural institutions. And when the everyday citizen starts to notice and discuss, the fact checkers swoop in and shame us for asking questions. And we all want to know if the number of fires between 2021 and 2022 is higher than normal in previous years. And I gave you a sample of what it was like in 2019, but to go further on this issue, the Magazine of National Fire Protection Association actually wrote an article on this very topic entitled "Nothing to See Here," in which they wrote, quote, "Nothing is unusual about any of the fires that have occurred in food processing plants over the first few months of the year. Although no data is kept on fires that occur strictly at food processing facilities," end quote. So then in this article, they go on to list fires that occur at industrial facilities, and they say that that number is consistent across the years. But they outright say they have no data on fires that occur at food processing facilities, so this article that has been referenced over and over by fact checkers is a giant waste of time. So fact checkers, why are you referencing this article and having like an authoritative voice when you tell us that the number of fires at these facilities is consistent when there's no data about fires that occur strictly at food processing facilities? Moving on, I got a fun fact for you. Between 1872 and 1873, over 3 million buffalo were killed in the United States. And the result of the United States genociding all these buffalo was to destroy the basis of the way of life for Native Americans who inhabited the Southern Plains.
Right.
Probably where Henry Kissinger got his inspo. He probably looks back at that event and is like, oh, hell yeah. But speaking of Henry Kissinger, I just want to know if a situation is being engineered where people who are increasingly dependent on government, because their own means have been exhausted, you know, they're relying on WIC, food banks, food stamps. I want to know if a situation is being engineered where people will gladly eat what's available. Luckily for us, in Canada, the world's largest cricket production facility is officially complete as of June 2022. Aspire Foods Group new plant in London, Ontario, is ready to produce 9,000 metric tons of crickets annually for human and pet consumption. Just a heads up, y'all, apparently if you have a shellfish allergy, you're likely to have a cricket allergy as well.
Oh.
Eat the bugs. No, I don't think I will. So as we're wrapping up here, I just want to say, one thing. one more thing, okay? Most people who comment on my channel, they comment really insightful information, but I get really annoying comments that are like, you're perpetuating the doom and gloom and New World Order by covering this information, and therefore you're part of it. The controlled demolition of our economy and our food supply is happening before our eyes, in my opinion. It doesn't have to be your opinion, but it is my opinion that that's what's going down. And I've always thought that with this channel, all these things that are happening, if people were just aware, if they were conscious of what was going on, if they weren't under the whole spell, we could stop it. We could change the course. And I still believe that. So that's what I'm doing. So, Internet friends, what do you think? What do you think about all these incidents? The perfect storm of what they're calling avian flu, spontaneous fires, food price hikes, corporate greed, mysterious cow heat waves, and world war, and its effect on our food supply. What do you think? Is it all a coincidence? Is our food supply being sabotaged? Anyway, you know, I always look forward to reading your comments.
Radio at freedomslips.com. We'll be right back after this message.
Who owns you? If you're not in control, then someone else is. Join me, Ivy West, for Voices on the Wind, Saturday. I discuss government, health, metaphysics, suppressed science, universal mysteries, little-known incredible facts, alternative energies, and even more than you can imagine.
There is blood on the wire.
Won't you join us on Revolution Radio Saturdays for Voices on the Wind with me, Ivy West.
There are lives in the balance, people under fire.
Because if your head's in the sand, your tail is a target.
Thank you for listening to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the Internet. Please help support this station so this battle can continue forward. Revolution Radio!
Join me and the Brian Ruse Show on Revolution Radio, Eastern Standard Time, every Tuesday night from 6 to 8. We talk about the four most vital things, in my view, affecting all of humanity. Number one is UFOs and aliens and their agenda for the advancement of humanity. Number two is the Jewish establishment's control over all aspects of human civilization. Number three, the truth about Adolf Hitler, how he was the opposite of what we've been told. Number four is Advanced Ancient Global Civilizations. Join me on the Brian Ruse Show, Tuesday nights from 6 to 8 on Studio B on Revolution Radio.
Thank Thank you for listening to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. Any commercial advertising you may hear in this program is of the sole discretion and benefit of the host of whose program you are listening to. Revolution Radio does not endorse any commercial products, nor does it accept monetary compensation for on-air advertising of commercial products, nor will it ever. We are and shall remain 100% listener supported. Any product advertising on this program are considered used at higher risk, and Revolution Radio shall not be held liable for any claims or damages received from any product advertised within this program. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps. The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates. You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Why are we allowing it? I just don't get it. I mean, just like we think we should allow them to tell us if we're allowed to have backyard chickens or not. Jeez. What? Oh, I'm finding one. Let's see, where'd it go? That's a movie, can't do that. Here we go. This will do it.
In the end, there is a non-human connection to this global cult. Ultimately, it's controlled by a non-human force. This cult is a network manipulating human society on behalf of a non-human force operating outside the, overwhelmingly outside the frequency band that humans can see, which is tiny, tiny, tiny. Visible light. But whether this force is in this form or that form, whether it's the reptilians or the greys or whatever, in the end, the way it behaves, the way anyone behaves, human, non-human, whatever, comes down to their state of consciousness. And so as I've gone deeper and deeper in the rabbit hole, and I've gone through the human level of the network down through the non-human level, you keep going. It comes down in the end to consciousness, states of consciousness. And so when I look around the world and the different cultures and the different religions and the non-religious cultures and so on, you see very common themes of a force manipulating humanity from a very negative, what you might call evil, which I call the absence of love, perspective. And another force, very different, pushing the other way. By its very nature, it's a very low vibrational state of perception and awareness, thus it's a very low frequency. And it's a very dense frequency. And to control humans and to attach human awareness, the body-mind level of awareness, to itself, so it becomes the mission control of people once that attachment takes place, you've got to pull as many human beings as possible, as many body-minds, into that same frequency. And not only does that allow you to attach to them and therefore become their source of perception, awareness, thought, everything, emotion, it also means you can feed off them. And you know, in the Matrix movie, when Morpheus held the battery up and said the machines have turned humans into one of these, it told a very profound truth, because one of the very great common themes of this force is that it feeds off low vibrational human energy, particularly emotion, like fear and anxiety, depression, resentment, hatred, all these low vibrational emotions that feeds off, we become an energy source for it, to empower it. Once it's attached to you, you become a vehicle for it. So you start acting like it, you start thinking like it, and then you become what you mentioned earlier, you become the psychopaths. You become the people with no compassion, no empathy. Is a very clear division and a very clear public expression of those who are awakened enough to think for themselves and those who are not. If you look at the way society breaks down, it's always broken down like this, but it's more obvious now because of what's been going on. You've got a very large number of people who do what authority tells them without question because authority's told them. There is no process of processing information and processing what authority tells you to see if it makes sense. There's none of that. You just believe it and do it. Then you've got another group that actually can see it or some levels of it and doesn't want to do what authority tells them. But they do it anyway because they're frightened of not doing it. Now, they're the two sections of society that have allowed every tyranny in history to be imposed. Because tyrants, there's never enough of them. The population has to obey the tyrants for the tyrants to rule. And then you've got this other area of society which is getting bigger, and the more people wake up to the fact that this is a gigantic scam and they're being lied to. And they're the ones that not only can see what's going on, at least levels of it, they won't cooperate with what's going on because their self-respect won't allow them to. And they're the ones, that's the section of society that's brought an end to every tyranny in history. Because their self-respect says, no, I'm not going to do what you tell me. So no, I'm not doing it. These are very clear expressions of consciousness, where people are at in terms of consciousness, where people are at in terms of perception. And the only people that are going to bring this to an end are those that are in the third group. And we hope that more from the second group, those that can see that it's not right, but are frightened to do anything or not obey, more and more of them come across. But it's those with massive responsibility on those people. Awakening is a gift, but it comes with great responsibility because, those that just obey authority without question, they're not going to change it. They're not going to change anything. So this is a time when those who do have an awakening consciousness, because none of us are awake in terms of fully awake. I mean, this is situation we're in, or it is pushing us against awakening all the time. So we are awakening learning and feeling and getting more and more insight, but it's those people that the responsibility lies upon to bring this to us. I look around today, we're talking about the awakening, and it's not like that anymore. I mean, my life has gone from trying everything I can to circulate this information to anyone who wants to listen, which weren't many, to the challenge in my life now is coping with the interest. I work 7 days a week, every week. I mean, there's no breaks because the interest is so great and I want to use it to get this information circulating. There is an awakening, and I'll tell you something else, and this is from my own experience as well, is that people now in bigger numbers than ever, far bigger numbers than ever, are opening their minds to the possibilities of even some of the big far out stuff I came out with years ago about the non-human element to this. Because two things. One, they are looking at it and they're saying, well, if someone had told me in January 2020 that the world would be like this at the end of 2021 into 2022, I'd have laughed at them. I'd have said, that's ridiculous. That will never happen. That could never happen. We'd never stand for it. Yeah, if only. But they've seen that it happened. And what it's done, it's reduced the resistance to the sense of the possible. This is really important. If you want to hold people in servitude, perceptual servitude, then squeeze their sense of the possible. Because if you can do that, when people come along and say, this is what's going on and this is how they're doing it, if those things are outside of your program sense of the possible, you're going to wave them away. Don't be ridiculous. Mm-hmm. That can't happen. That's impossible. So what I'm seeing now, and certainly in the last like 4 months or so, is more and more people are saying, well, hold on a minute. Maybe some of the more far out things he said are not to be dismissed anymore. And the second thing that's driving that is they're looking at the world and they're saying, well, why is the agenda so anti-human? It's so anti-human. At every turn, it's anti-human. I see a big awakening taking place. I mean, in England, more and more people are just not buying the lies. And they're not falling for the fear anymore. Of course, loads of people are, but the number who are not is growing rapidly.
Yay! Yeah. Oh no, I can't play that. That's a reality of truth. We can't go there. How dare I even think like that? No, 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 no. Oh, you're not going to play for me? What do I have to do to get you to play? Oh! Did they take it off? So that's why it can't be played? I don't know. Let's see, how long is it? It's not gonna let me play it. Huh! Oh, let's do it. Clean it up. Bring it back. Okay. I mean, it's telling me I can press play. Oh, now it's, what do you call it? Whoops, it might be.
They can put something in your body right. Through a deceitful.
It'll have to come another day. It's too long. Too long. Can't go there too long. Can't go there. Okay. Yeah, just because I already used what time I had. That's too long. Okay. That one's kind of aggravating. Let's see. And I'm just getting started, so that's 21. You're 16. And you're 17. So now I have to find something shorter just for the moment. All right.
June 22nd, and this is another analysis to show you how we get to over a million people dead in the United States. This time I'm going to use foreign only data that's within VAERS. So Starting with the left-hand side, this is the total of foreign and domestic. That's 28,859 deaths, 1.3 million records. So the right-hand side here is just the foreign data, and that's 15,000 deaths, 15,566. You can see the percentage of deaths to the actual reports, 469,000 reports, that's 3.32%, as opposed to everything altogether is 2.2% right here. So that that props up the domestic deaths must be a lot lower. Lower. So here's a view. It's the same thing. Here's the total, the cumulative foreign and domestic. And now we're looking at just domestic and just foreign, these two. So you can see right there the deaths, how the death reports for domestic is only 1.6% of the 830,000, as opposed to 15,566 deaths against the 469,000 reports. So looking closely, you can see, as an example, look at the permanent disabilities, how disproportionate that is. For foreign, there's almost 40,000 permanent disabilities and coming in at 8.5% of the 469,000 reports, where on the domestic side, it's a 14,000 permanent disabilities against the 830,000 reports. So that's why you get something like this on this graph here off to the right. This is my foreign. This is everything altogether. And you can see permanent disability is this brown color. And the domestic, which is all the other ones combined, the blue states, the red states, the territories, and the unknown domestic states. Yes, there is over 100,000 reports that we don't know what state they came from. Yeah, thanks, early warning system. Thanks, FAERS. So be it. But look at the the permanent disability. So that's wild. You can see right here, I'm off by 1,000. I'm more precise by 1,000, because I've pulled at least 1,000 out of the unknown vaccine type that are clearly recorded as COVID jabs, but they're filed away, lost in the minutia of unknown vax type. So if you ever wondered, like, wow, in my dashboard, I'm able to determine what countries these foreign reports came from the a field that's called the split type. And it has a two-digit country code embedded in each report. So it tells me which country it comes from. And here is a great example of like permanent disabilities. So I'm looking at the permanent disabilities, focusing in on these brown parts right here. And from the Worldometer, I'm looking at the country's population for just these five countries. And this is the country rank as far as how large they are and how they rank in the world. So United States, third largest country. United Kingdom, 21st largest. Belgium, 81st largest country. So, let's look at Belgium. Belgium looks like they have the most permanent disabilities for, total reports. And they have 6,000. So they basically have half of the United States. And I don't have the United States on this graph right here, because it would, the histogram bar would be way over here, would be super big, and it would push all these other ones down. You couldn't really see those too well. But anyways, I do know that at this point in time, this snapshot, I had 13,000 permanent disabilities for the USA. And look at little Belgium right here, has almost like a little under half of that. But look how big they are compared to the United States. I mean, look how small they are compared to the United States, 11.5 million population. Mm-hmm. So, when you look at that, you go, wow, that is incredible. These guys, what is it? What is it? What does this blurb say? Manufacturers that were reported to their foreign subsidiaries. Okay, this is when VAERS occasionally receives case reports from U.S. manufacturers that were reported to their foreign subsidiary. Okay, so the U.S. manufacturer, Moderna, Pfizer, J&J, what's their subsidiaries? Well, I'd reason that, governments are starting to look like, all governments are starting to look like Big Pharma's subsidiaries. All international VAERS reporting systems seem to be, everybody is beholden to Big Pharma, it seems like. So maybe we're all just a subsidiary of Big Pharma. But anyways, it says the FDA regulations. If a manufacturer is notified of a foreign case report, wouldn't these manufacturers be notified of every foreign case report? I mean, they should be. Come on. This isn't courier pigeons and, this is ridiculous. This is high tech right here. Shit, give me a break. All right. Notified of a foreign case report that describes an event that is both serious and unexpected. So I guess it has to be two things. It has to be both serious and unexpected, meaning, in other words, it does not appear in the product labeling. Shit, I didn't even know they had a product labeling. I heard it was all blank. But anyways, supposedly they got this phantom list of stuff that they do expect. But all this is supposedly unexpected and serious. However, even the serious part is kind of begs a question. All right, if it's serious, why are you giving us all of this? None of the above in office visits right here. All this yellow stuff, that doesn't make sense. OK, well, so be it. They are required to submit it to VAERS. So it just also begs a question, like, are these reports that are in the American VAERS, are they also in the UK Yellow Card and the Uyghur Vigilance and all these other, you know, in the Uyghur Vigilance, the European Union one, I think there's like 24 countries that participate in that one. So a lot of these countries may be in also in that Uyghur, participating in that Uyghur Vigilance. So, but apart from that, I mean, so are they in both? Do they get crosswalked into the United, into the American Bears? And do they get like deducted? Do they get taken? Does the report get literally taken out of Uyghur Vigilance and Yellow Card and put in here? You know, I don't know. I don't know for sure. I don't think so. I think they're crosswalked and they're recorded in both places. But that's just my opinion. I don't know for sure. But the point is that it sure does look like, first of all, we don't get everything because of this phrase right here, you know, that only serious and unexpected. So even when it comes to serious, I don't think we get all the serious. I don't think we got all the permanent disabilities from Great Britain that was, you know, from Moderna, Pfizer and J&J. You know, I don't think we got all of them. Only the stuff that was unexpected. And seriously unexpected, whatever, you get it. I don't think we get everything. But even with that, it's like, my God, some of these countries for sure are just out counting us. They got way more stuff. I mean, it's like, it's as if the foreign data is more true, like as if the foreign governments, there's less barrier, there's less impedance, there's something. Because, you know, we all know here in the United States, they don't want to report, you know, the university hospitals must have got a Fauci memo from Fauci, a secret one, saying, hey, you know, If you must report, make sure they have a heartbeat at least, because, you know, follow up reports will not be made public. So at least if you have to file a report, make sure the person's got a heartbeat when you hit that submit button. But anyways, and if you don't have to, don't file it. You know, it's got to be. So anyways, that's what I'm saying. I'm using this data. Now, what if I could take the foreign ratios, the foreign data ratios, and apply them to the domestic data? To the 831,000 reports, but at this ratio, the deaths at 3.32. So deaths would be basically doubled to 27,616. I think that is probably more, definitely more realistic. Let alone, I mean, you know, I'm just trying to. I think it's a lot more. I think it's a million, right? But there's going to be people that will never ever report, nor will they even connect the dots that it was the jab that did it to them. But so be it. I'm just going with numbers that are in VAERS, inside of VAERS. So I did my old Mexican counterfeit skills and I created this right here. So these numbers are superimposed. I did that myself and I came out with these numbers right here. So I'll let you look at them. So at the same time, you can see like the emergency room numbers went down quite a bit, you know, from 12% to 6%. I guess that does make sense because they said in the blurb only a serious and unexpected. So maybe less of that, but why are they giving us any office visits and none of the above? You know, that doesn't make sense. They're still giving us 60%, none of the above. So anyways, that's, you know, that's the old kid fresh's skills right there, creating a counterfeit report. So let's apply Stevie Kirsch's factor 41 to the, you know, to these numbers, to that death, 27,000. Okay. So that basically takes us to 1.1 million dead. If we applied that now, you know, this also holds true to the part that I say, you know, begs a question. How many of these people are now since dead that have filed 1.3 million reports, but then were supposed, you know, we're alive at the time of the filing of the report? You know, and I've beat a dead horse showing you a bunch of stuff. It's like, dude, I think these people are dead. Cardiac arrests that sure do look like, you know, the way they're written up, question if they are continued to, they got resuscitated or they really died right there. All kinds of minutiae and semantics. But the point is like the biggest loophole is the only initial reports are made public. I mean, come on, dude, 1.3 million. How many of those people are now since dead? You can double these numbers. You can double the numbers, is what I'm saying. But I didn't even do it that way. I was able to double it just by objectively looking at the foreign data and saying, oh, my God, and just doing these correlations and it bears out. So I did in my last video, I said, 1.5 million people. And I apologize. There was a slight error in my data and it came right here. I was making the correlation. You know, I kept saying 70, you know, there's throttling going on and 75% of all the domestic deaths that are recorded are actually been jabbed a year ago or older. So I applied that same ratio and I got to how many people had at least one dose on May the 26th and to measure and weigh apples to apples, to compare and contrast apples to apples. So I took this ratio of 171 million people with at least one dose at that time on May 26th and extrapolated out, you know, using this same percentage here, that it actually came out to, you know, at least the most recent data in the CDC tracker, that there's been 259 million people that have had at least one dose up to June 16th. That would, using the same ratios and formulas, it get us to 15,000 dead. And then, you know, do the factor 41 on that one, you know, and I got to 628,000. However, look, I'm going to get closer to 700,000 because CDC also gives us this. They tell us what's, you know, what's on deck and what's in process, what's in inventory to be processed. And right here, you can see that they're telling us they got 15,066 reports of death. Preliminary reports of death. So this is a cumulative number, you know, but I don't like that word, preliminary reports of death. Well, 13 million, they've already finalized and reported it out. I think they should take the 13,000 here that they've already finalized and reported and pushed out to the public and take that off of this Q number. Just, you know, because this is making it sound like, oh, my God, you got this 13,000 plus an additional 15,000. Who knows? Maybe that's the semantics. Maybe they do have an additional 15,000. That's their way of shimmy-shamming. But anyway, so I'm going to take it this way to mean that there's a difference of 1,773, a difference. And even that, if you factor 41, if you curse this, you get a 72,000. So, you know, you could conceivably tack on 72,000 to this number here, which would basically take me to 700,000. All right. So these are the kinds of numbers we're talking about. You know, factor 41 is soon going to be ancient and antiquated and old school. We're going to need, you know, we're going to need to bump that up. So anyways, that's all I'm getting at. I guess that's it. I wanted to show you this down here and show you the Mexican counterfeit right here out of Excel. So this was what I gave you here. Check it out. Let me move stuff around. Bada bing. Cha-ching. Move stuff around. Look at that. Oh, moving stuff around. Get it, people? You get it? You get what I'm cooking?
Yeah.
We don't need no stinking badges. We don't need no stinking badges, man. Anthony Montana, man. All right, so that's how that stuff works. Whoops, there you go. All right, you guys, Eagle out.
Find some comfort at Willow's World, a variety of news, commentary and poetry at Willow's Poetry Corner, where there are comfy cushions and a tempting selection of delectable comestibles. A show that's quirkily and quintessentially British, with a unique twist featuring Willow Andreasen, your host. Join Willow Mondays and Thursdays, 2 till 4 p.m. Eastern Time, Studio A.
Join me and the Brian Ruse Show on Revolution Radio, Eastern Standard Time, every Tuesday night from 6 to 8. We talk about the four most vital things, in my view, affecting all of humanity. Number one is UFOs and aliens and their agenda for the advancement of humanity. Number two is the Jewish establishment's control over all aspects of human civilization. Number three, the truth about Adolf Hitler, how he was the opposite of what we've been told. Number four is Advanced Ancient Global Civilizations. Join me on the Brian Ruse Show, Tuesday nights from 6 to 8 on Studio B on Revolution Radio.
Are you interested in the paranormal? Murder mystery, real natural law. Do you enjoy interviews with amazing guests? Then join Crypt Rick every Monday night, 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, right here on Revolution Radio. Studio A, freedomslips.com. Crypt Rick's iPhone, thank you. Welcome to the Crypt.
Join me at Revolution Radio, Studio B,
at 11 a.m. on Saturday for free association, when we take a look at philosophy, spirituality, psychology, social issues, and geopolitics. It's every Saturday at 11 a.m. Eastern on Studio B at freedomslips.com.
Hey everyone, it's Barbara Jean Lindsay, the Cosmic Oracle. If you have questions about your past lives or future plans, need answers from the cosmos about your love life or career, or just want to keep your finger on the pulse of the planet, check out my show, The Cosmic Oracle, here on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com.
I want to thank everybody for listening to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com, the one place where information never sleeps. Revolution, Revolution Radio!
All right, let's show them what we got now.
We now return to Revolution Radio's very own feral hippie, Mona Radler.
Welcome back. We're here at freedomslips.com, revolution.radio. It is the 28th day of June, 2022. Remember, we are listener supported, and I thank y'all very much who is actually supporting us. Yes, indeed. So, let's see.
Oh, happy day. We are back to traveling and back to life as normal. How long will it last in this crazy world? God only knows. And when we think about those voices that have made this difference, that have really brought truth to the science, brought truth to the medicine, I can't think of a greater voice than Dr. Peter McCullough. And I have breaking news right now. He sent over a letter that he just received from the American Board of Internal Medicine. And it reads as follows. Dear Dr. McCullough, diplomats of the American Board of Internal Medicine are a community of physicians who commit to be guided by evidence-based medicine. ABIM grants certification based on the judgment of expert peers who are familiar with the literature and medical practice. Our community holds us accountable for ensuring our standards are met. You are currently certified by ABIM. ABIM has learned that you have made numerous widely reported and disseminated public statements about the purported dangers of or lack of justification for COVID vaccines. And let me just jump to the point of this letter. While ABIM recognizes the importance of legitimate scientific debate, physicians have an ethical and professional responsibility to provide information that is factual, scientifically grounded, and consensus-driven. Providing false or inaccurate information to patients or the public is unprofessional and unethical and violates the trust that the profession of medicine and the public have in ABIM board certification. Therefore, such conduct constitutes grounds for disciplinary sanctions. Obviously, this is a letter warning Dr. Peter McCullough that he is now under some sort of investigation. I'm joined right now by Dr. McCullough. Obviously, these aren't the best of circumstances to be talking to you, but I won't say that I'm surprised. We live in a world of censorship. We've all been censored online, social media platforms, and we have seen other doctors that are being investigated for speaking their truth and
And, you know, you've obviously come on the show and brought a lot of truth. So what's going through your mind? Tell me about, you know, what this is about today for you.
No, I'm board certified by the American Board of Internal Medicine continuously since 1991, both as an internist and then later on as a cardiologist. I've poured thousands of dollars into that organization and countless years of my life, as well as endless testing. I have met every standard of that organization to claim board certification by contract. I'm an established expert in my field. I'm the most widely published person on heart-kidney interactions in the world in history, and I've been relied upon by American medicine and medicine worldwide for my scientific inferences. Now, in the last 2 years in COVID-19, I have provided scholarship. I have 56 peer-reviewed publications in the literature, in the author block, work with collaborative groups, brought the world early treatment protocols, and I've been a careful analysis physician, a careful news commentator on vaccine safety and efficacy. I was shocked to receive this letter. I have responded in a response document that's nearly 24 pages long. Every statement that I've made is carefully cited and sourced with the data, just like you do on the highwire. And now Senator Johnson has put out a public call for an open discussion with the American Board of Internal Medicine.
I've got that letter right here. This is from Senator Johnson's office. This is awesome. Dear Dr. Barron, I'm in receipt of your letter to Dr. Peter McCullough dated May 26, 2022, in which the American Board of Internal Medicine provided notice that the ABIM's Credentials and Certification Committee will hold a meeting to determine whether to recommend any disciplinary sanction against Dr. Peter McCullough. In your letter, you cite a number of evidence-based public opinions Dr. Peter McCullough made regarding COVID-19, natural and herd immunity, asymptomatic spread, and COVID-19 vaccination policy. As you are aware, Dr. McCullough provided testimony before the Senate Committee on Homeland Security and Government Affairs on November 19, 2020, and again on January 24, 2022, during a roundtable event I held in Washington, D.C., titled COVID-19, A Second Opinion. He goes on to talk about how important it is to have a debate, and now he is demanding that a debate happen between you and this board. It is well past time for the public to hear from many sides regarding COVID-19 in a public forum. The purpose of this letter is to invite you, members of your Credentials and Certification Committee, and any other medical expert of your choosing to come to Washington and engage in an open and honest interchange regarding all aspects of COVID-19 without the threat of reprisal by the ABIM or any other organization. First of all, I just want, you know, to have Senator Johnson stepping up like this is so important. Hopefully many more senators will sign on to this demand. It is well past time. I could not agree more. This debate needs to happen. They have gone on. And when I think about this, you know, there are things like, for instance, one of the statements you made that, you know, that natural immunity is long lasting. We all saw that be affected by Omicron a little bit. I remember even you reached out to Joe Rogan and said through Dr. Malone, please let him know that the science has now shifted on that. We have a new variant. What you were saying was true up in that point, but as all scientists know, the science changes and you immediately change that perspective. On the other hand, I could point to their statements about the vaccine being 95% effective, how it was going to end this pandemic, none of which ended up being true. We're dropping below 50% efficacy. We're having negative efficacy around the world. All sorts of issues, yet they are not being held accountable. When you think about this double standard, what is it that needs to take place so that we can get back to being honest about how science should be taking place?
Well, Del, you and I know we have been on the record from the beginning, and none of these members of these various boards and organizations have been publicly on the record regarding the presumption of vaccine safety and efficacy, right, and then the science, right, regarding the pandemic. Now's the time to all come out. Let's get around a round table. Let's exchange information without threats, pressure, or threat of reprisal, and let's get the information out to America.
You know, I think what we need to do is that I'm just like, we're, because this is happening on the fly, you just reached out to us. I really think we all need to start reaching out to our senators, to our, you know, congressional representatives. I think forward this letter, say, I support this. I want this debate. This type of witch hunting of good doctors that are simply sharing a different perspective in a world where even the CDC is admitting the science is gray, that it is not some black and white situation. We're trying to find our way through it. We can't have this happen. Everybody, do your part. Reach out. Just say this letter, you know, from Senator Johnson. I want you to sign on to it. I want you to agree and demand that this debate take place. I know that you're seeing patients right now, and so you just took this moment. Any last words before you go running off about this situation?
Scientific discourse is critical to medical advancement. This is far more than just my case or other doctors in my circles. This is about the advancement of science. If we do not cut out censorship. If we do not nip this in the bud, Del, we're in trouble.
I agree. It is really, really scary to think that you can have captured organizations, captured regulatory agencies that are pushing one narrative that seems to benefit, you know, the side of the industry versus, you know, shutting down any commentary from professionals that are siding with citizens and the issues that they're seeing out there. Dr. Peter McCullough, we are going to stand behind you on this. If you need support legally or any other thing from us, the Informed Consent Action Network, which is the nonprofit that makes this show possible, we stand behind you 100%, and we will make sure to get the word out there. And until then, and while all this is going on, our prayers are with you. I want to thank you for taking the time to join us and share this story with us.
Thank you.
All right. Senator Johnson wrote that brilliant letter to support Dr. McCullough, which is so important now that we see and we, and by the way, support the politicians that are supporting our doctors. It is my honor and pleasure to be joined now by Senator Ron Johnson. Senator Johnson, yeah, first of all, I want to thank you for writing a letter for supporting Dr. McCullough the way that you have. But when he reached out to you and you heard about this, what were your first thoughts?
Well, first of all, Del, it's great to be on your show, and thank you for everything you've been doing in terms of providing the truth to people regarding COVID and the vaccines. I mean, first of all, I was outraged. This little star chamber that the American Board of Internal Medicine is going to conduct against Dr. McCullough is just outrageous. Now, I'm reading the letter providing Dr. McCullough notice of this star chamber, and they're listing all these statements that he's made that are apparently they view as misinformation.
Yeah.
I'm looking, you're going to go up. I think that's the truth. It's interesting. They second page, they let him know that you may make a written submission for the CCC's consideration connection with this matter. And then they go on to say, please be advised that failure to respond timely to this notice may be considered unprofessional and weighed against you. I mean, this literally is a star chamber. And so what I want to do is, in support of Dr. McCullough, is write a letter to Dr. Richard Barron, the CEO and the president of this organization, and just let them know that you know, I'm aware of it. The American public is now aware of this proceeding, and that what I've actually done is I've invited Dr. Barron and any people he'd like to bring with him, other medical professionals, to come to Washington, D.C. and engage in a dialogue with people like Dr. McCullough and Dr. Corey and Dr. Merrick and Dr. Cole and all the people you've had on your show, the people that I've had that's testified before my committee or participate in some of my events. You know, I did an event in November of 2021, again, the COVID-19 second opinion event in January 24th of 2022. I invited all the agency heads or representative from those agencies, the CEOs of the drug companies. They would never show up.
Do they respond at all? Well, I mean, you know, we see you. You're a senator. You have some standing. You're having these hearings. I mean, does Fauci, Francis Collins, like, does anybody respond at all from the other side?
No, they don't even, you know, they don't send regrets or anything. I've written, I think, up to 38 oversight letters to the various health agencies, pretty well laying the groundwork that should I be here for another term? I'd be hopefully chairman of the permanent subcommittee investigation. I'm just laying the groundwork for investigations into all things COVID, all things vaccines, all things in terms of sabotage of early treatment. But no, I've written 38 oversight letters. I've basically gotten
squashed.
That's squat,
pretty important.
Whether it's the NIH, the CDC, the FDA, now the Departments of Defense on the DMED system. Listen, it's a deep state. The deep state does not give up its secrets very easily. By the way, we're down to, we did request, remember the 4,000 emails from Fauci that were FOIA'd?
Yeah.
We looked at those. We requested 400 of them. We focused on it, 400 unredacted. HHS has allowed us so far to read them in a reading room, 50 pages at a time. We've read 350 pages. We're down to the last 50. They will not give those last 50 pages up to us.
Oh, man.
There must be some pretty explosive information in those last 50 pages.
I can't wait to, I mean, obviously it's so much, it's hard work. We work with Attorney Aaron Seary to FOIA these things. I know that you're acquainted with him also. It's hard to get through to the truth. When they start really pushing back, you know there must be something good there. You know, let me just ask you a question. You may or may not know the answer to this. But when we look at medical boards like this, right? I mean, on one hand, I find as conservatives, you know, that are out there, we don't want to influence a business and tell them what to do or how to run their business. But when it comes to a medical board, there is some government interaction, right? I mean, because one of my things is, why don't we just start new medical boards? Why don't we just start a new medical board, right? Like, you know, the medical board of real science, or, you know, of the, you know, the medical board of scientific method. But these medical boards wield a lot of power, and they use a lot of threats, and they are obviously, whether or not they believe what they're saying, they're coerced by a higher power. All the money from pharma that pours into these boards and affects these universities, you know, is there any space in the political system, in the government, to put pressure? If you had, let's say, a majority of senators that all thought this was the wrong thing to do, is there anything a government can do about a medical board?
I think just ask for transparency, and that's what I'm doing here.
Yeah.
If they have nothing to hide, don't hide it. Right. If you're proud of what you're going to be doing to a wonderful person, Dr. Peter McCulloch, who is, let's face it, they're trying to destroy people like Dr. McCulloch and Dr. Yeah. Corey and the people that have had the courage and compassion first to treat COVID patients and then to speak out, to speak the truth. They are being, the COVID cartel is trying to destroy these individuals. At least they can do it in the light of day. And that's really my attempt here is, listen, if you're going to try and destroy him through the Star Chamber, through your American Board of Internal Medicine, do it out in the open. Let the public see exactly what you're going to do. You know, listen, both of us, we're accused all the time. They use the pejorative, spreading misinformation, right?
Yeah, yeah.
I always ask, I'm sure you do, well, show me what I'm saying that isn't true.
Right.
Because I don't want to say things that are inaccurate. You know, if I'm wrong, I will correct it immediately, okay? I'll apologize for being wrong. So far, I have never been given any information that I've provided that has been untrue.
Well, because everything we're doing is backed in data. Now, and one of the things I find problematic about this entire misinformation discussion, and where it's really wrong, even I get fact checked by fact checkers that will say, we found a study that goes against what Dell said. Well, what you found was a study that says something different than the study that I showed. And so there's, you know, differing opinions on the science here, but there's scientific backing, used mostly to my position, but every once in a while to put up a study. But just because you have a study doesn't mean that mine is misinformation if I'm showing science too. Dr. Peter McCulloch is going to be able to point to science and evidence that backs up every point he's made. Has there been funded science done by pharma that has set out to have a different conclusion and a different result? Absolutely. But unless there is no existence of science anywhere for something you've said and you're just pulling it out of thin air, this concept of misinformation, we've got to eradicate that from our vernacular, because it's being used in a very inappropriate way, and it's getting to be dangerous. I mean, I feel like what we're seeing with Dr. Peter McCulloch, as he said, this is dangerous. If we have doctors that are not allowed to actually treat the patient in front of them, are not allowed to use their background of understanding, all of the myriad of patients they've treated, all the different nuances they've experienced that lead them to a different decision on that patient, while a board that is being funded by a pharmaceutical industry trying to sell a singular product is going to override that, is going to mandate that the hospitals all have to do the same thing. This sort of homogenized, pasteurized, you know, medicine will be the death of us. I mean, it is literally going to be the death of us. If we all have to take remdesivir, even if it doesn't prove to work for most people, simply because that's the, you know, the appropriate science, and anything against it is misinformation. When you got involved in politics, did you ever imagine, I mean, I imagine you got involved because you knew there were problems in the world, but I mean, it just went on steroids the minute, you know, you sort of stepped inside the Capitol there. I mean, just lastly, what's it like to be, you know, in some ways a lone voice in this incredible, insane time?
Well, first of all, the pandemic has exposed so many problems in our society, within our medical establishment. There is no perfect medical information. Every human being is different. Everybody reacts differently to different drugs. What drives me nuts is when I'm challenged by medical experts. Okay, yeah. Show me the data. Right. You know, the one that's driving me nuts right now is this sudden adult death syndrome.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
I'm reading articles written about that, and the doctors are baffled. You know, the medical experts are baffled. What could possibly be causing the death of adults just dropping dead? What could it be? And I'm going, isn't it pretty obvious? I mean, you look at the VAERS report, we're up to 28,714 deaths on the VAERS system.
Right.
What did anything change in 2021? Did we do something different in medicine that just might be a possible reason for SADS? But again, the COVID cartel is completely oblivious to it. As I've been saying, they can't afford to be proven wrong. The body count is way too high. They sabotaged early treatment. But Dell, they have the power to make it very difficult to prove them wrong. And that's really the situation we're in. It's why people like Dr. McCulloch need to be supported. Why I wrote that letter. The public has to be made aware of these things. I think the truth has power, but the truth has to get out there. And that's all I'm trying to do. So I'm just trying to convey truth. That's what you're trying to do. That's what Peter McCulloch's trying to do. In the end, I got to hope the truth can prevail.
Absolutely. Well, Senator Ron Johnson, as one of the few politicians that's actually working in Washington, D.C., and using taxpayer money appropriately to get something done, I don't want to steal any more of your time. I want to thank you for taking your time to join us today. I want to thank you for being so passionate on this topic and bringing together panels of scientists, what we've only been dreaming about coming together over the last years. I've been involved in trying to get more transparency in the science around medical procedures and products. Your work is outstanding. Your letter, we're going to put it up here, folks. Here's the letter one more time. It will be available to you if you're a member of our newsletter. Get your friends. Just send it to your friends. Say, can you believe this is going on? You know, let's support this. Reach out. Start talking to your elected officials and saying, we can't have these witch hunts. This is insane. This is a highly decorated doctor, one of the most published scientists, doctors in the world, especially on heart issues, and the most published doctor on the COVID pandemic. Senator Ron Johnson, thank you so much, and we'll continue to watch you. And if you need anything from us at any time, please let us know.
Thank you, and stay well. Again, my wish is I just hope these doctors show up. I hope the agency heads, I hope the CEOs of Pfizer and Moderna show up and have the dialogue, have a discussion. If you're so proud of what you've done, get into a dialogue with people like Dr. McCulloch and Corey and Merrick.
Agreed. It's time for the debate. It's time. If you have a winning argument, bring it. Otherwise, shut up. All right. Thank you, Senator Ron Johnson. Stay have well. A great
Thank
day.
You.
Be blessed. Well, I mean, these are incredible times where it doesn't matter your background. It doesn't matter your success in treating patients. It's as though none of it seems to mean anything. All of the evidence, all the science, Dr. McCulloch cites. I mean, you've seen him on our show, the way he can recite so many different studies. And yet, you know, you wonder, does it even matter? I mean, and what is he up against? Just saying he's spreading misinformation. As I said before, how about the fact that you all said this vaccine was 95% effective? You promised us this vaccine was going to end this pandemic and eradicate the disease, and now you're telling us to live with it. You promised us we didn't need masks. Then you promised us we did need masks. Now you're saying maybe we don't need masks. I mean, this is all so crazy, it starts to make you feel like you're crazy.
Yes, it does. Very much so. I mean, just to the point of, oh my gosh.
Del, I want to take a moment here for a call to action.
Okay.
So, you know, our audience is probably some of the smartest, most well-informed, courageous, and active audiences of any show ever. And we're going to call upon them here. We'll give a little background. So on April 6th, VRBPAC had a meeting, and they put out a notice. This was the notice here. And this was for a docket, a request for comments. And it says here, this meeting will be held to discuss considerations for use of COVID-19 vaccine booster doses and the process for COVID-19 vaccine strain selection to address current and emerging variants. And then Dorian Fink, he is the deputy director. He's the clinical division of vaccines and related products applications. He put together this thing called the future for the framework for the future. And it's talking about, again, strain composition and use of additional boosters. So let's look at some of the slides here. And why is this important? Because they're talking about uploading new strains into the already existing vaccine schedule here with COVID-19. Yeah. So what they're saying here is they're trying to make contingency plans that they're saying that should be developed to respond to any emerging variant that escapes protection provided by current available vaccines. And then they're talking about how are they going to do this? Well, they're saying the flu shot is a great way to look at this. So this next slide here in the background of how they may be able to do this, they give this idea of, well, the composition of current COVID-19 vaccines may need to be updated to maintain vaccine effectiveness against clinical relevant variants, as they say. But they say the annual influenza vaccine strain selection process may provide insights for how to consider updating the composition of COVID-19 vaccines. So understand, they're trying to flu shot the COVID-19 vaccine. So that's basically fast tracking the development of this vaccine. Rather than it going through the trial phases, they're just going to say, they're going to declare it biologically similar and say, well, we're just going to update it. We don't need to go through VRBPAC. We don't need to go through ACIP anymore. If BA,
now, this is amazing. So essentially they want to do with the flu shot, what they do is just basically throw in a new variant every year, say, oh, we think this is the variant it's going to be, but they don't want to. Remember, folks, they're going to be manipulating the spike protein, which is what these RNA vaccines are using. Put a brand new spike protein together, mutate that some way that Dr. Robert Malone will say is absolutely insane. And then they want to have the same safety that they said they've already achieved with the old vaccine, which they have not achieved. It's all been emergency.
Radio at freedomslips.com. We'll be right back after this message.
Join me at Revolution Radio, Studio B, at 11 a.m. on Saturday for Free Association, when we take a look at philosophy, spirituality, psychology, social issues and geopolitics. It's every Saturday at 11 a.m. Eastern on Studio B at freedomslips.com.
Transcending time and space, let us take you to the place inside your mind where thoughts divide and mysteries unwind. Join us every Monday evening right here on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com from 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern Time, and you will catch the Fenton Perspective with our great host, Lorian Fenton. Come listen in as she shares her amazing stories from the past to present, along with all of her guest secrets to the future. That's the Fenton Perspective every Monday evening right here from 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern Time, only on Revolution Radio. Oh, and you don't need to expect us. We're already here.
You can torture us and bomb us. Fire is catching. And if we burn, you burn with us.
Good evening.
Are you awake yet? I hope. We've tried and we've tried for years and years to use passive resistance and loud voices to make a change. The time is over. Your governments around the world have no other goal than to decimate your entire existence at the hands of the bankers and the elites. The war is coming, and it's your choice to decide if you want to be a warrior or a victim. Denial is not a choice anymore. Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet, not giving up. Revolution Radio.
Thanks for listening while we take that short break here at Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. And yeah, we're going to get back to your host.
Okay. Let us see here. Where was I? Do I want to do that one? That's too long. That is personal. How long are you? 24 minutes. Too long.
Hey, today I want to read a letter that I received from a biomedical scientist with excellent credentials, I must say, who wrote to me in response to my inhuman frequencies video about the effect of EMFs and radio frequencies on the human body. So I'm not going to identify this person, so I'm going to skip some little sections of the letter. But Mosley was actually telling me about the work of another scientist called Ross Adie, Dr. Ross Adie. So I would like to read this to you because a lot of people were really interested in the subject of that video. And although I haven't done any more follow-up research on it, I know it's a very wide and intriguing topic that a lot of people are starting to once again raise red flags about, you know, the installation of 5G. But not just 5G, all kinds of wireless communication has terrible detrimental effects on the bodies of humans and effects on plants and animals too. So, okay, I don't want to waste much more time. I'm just going to start reading this. Oh, by the way, sorry. These are Mad Max glasses. You can see I've had to add a second lens on this, and there's not even a lens in this eye. This is how crazy my eyes have been getting. And because we are in a time of destroying all the systems which sustained us for so many years, I'm finding that interacting even with eye care doctors is becoming a painful experience.
Right.
And all they want to do is send you for surgery. I haven't even had a proper exploration. Nobody's even like lifted up my eyelids and looked underneath them for anything. And they don't really ask my opinion. They didn't talk about, anyway, it doesn't matter. But it's very distressing, and it's part of the reason why I take long breaks from making videos sometimes. My eye is so disturbing to me. It makes me dizzy. It makes me tired. Anyway, okay. Here we go. First, he attaches Ross Ades' obituary in The Lancet and a quote from that. Ross Ades was a leading and controversial figure on the effects of electromagnetic fields, born on January 31st, 1922 in Adelaide, Australia. He died on May 20th, 2004 in Redlands, California, USA, of pneumonia. AD is probably the most famous for discovering what has been called the AD window, according to Paul Rash, president of the American Institute of Stress and a clinical professor of medicine and psychiatry at New York Medical College Valhalla. The AD window describes the confined parameters under which a very weak electromagnetic signal has a physiological effect, Rash told The Lancet. Now back to the writer's words. Where The Lancet says, very weak electromagnetic signal, they do not make the exceedingly important point that this signal was of the order of a hundredth of the electrical potential difference across the cell membrane, i.e. the potential difference between the inside of the cell and the outside. This is very, very, very tiny. His postdoc student, Robert Fitzsimmons, was a drinking friend and colleague of mine working under AD, and in the mid-1980s, Robert showed that these tiny fields induced a few centimeters away from the dish change important messenger molecules such as cyclic AMP or C-AMP and calcium ion fluxes in cells in culture dishes. In case you don't know, CAMP, C-AMP, and I don't know, didn't know, is like a switch in the cell that turns its processes and activities, such as reproduction, on or off, and as such can alter cell activity. No need for graphene or other agent. Interesting. So it's almost like the graphene stuff is a red herring, or, I mean, it may be there and it may be for other purposes, but it almost makes it like, oh, well, up till we started injecting people with graphene, none of this was possible. But according to this biomedical scientist and the work of his friend, it is possible without graphene. Okay, this is a direct effect on this, the most important and well-known of intracellular messenger molecules. The implications were dire even then, for which AD received much criticism to silence him. AD also believed that cells talk to one another, intercellular communication, by changing these tiny EMFs, a process of intercellular communication that he charmingly called cell whispering. He firmly believed, and I agree, that these findings have implications for human evolution, as we as a species have evolved in the Earth's own low-power EMFs, and only recently have bathed ourselves in an ocean of high-power frequencies with unknown long-term consequences for mankind. Every wire that carries electricity in every house emits an EMF, and we are surrounded and hence bathed in high-power EMFs daily. AD told me that he was very concerned about mobile cell phones that were coming into common usage then in the 1980s, and their effects on the brain because of the large EMF fields emitted by the phones held close to the head, and especially of young developing brains. He also told me in 1984 that he had been tasked by the U.S. government, presumably by the State Department and CIA, in the 1960s or early 1970s, to investigate why workers at the U.S. Embassy in Moscow were coming down with all kinds of strange ailments, lethargy, tumors, problems, concentrating, etc. He discovered that the KGB were bombarding the U.S. Embassy with EMFs to spy on them via EMF carrier waves. I note similarities with the recent descriptions of Havana syndrome. The technology has moved on so much since those days. Now more refined tech is being used to achieve this spying goal. AD hinted at other top-secret work using EMFs that he was worried about. This involved both the U.S. Air Force and U.S. Navy, I believe, the CIA Pandora Project for remote brain manipulation, which was resurrected by the CIA in 2019. Did not know that. Have to look into that one. The Pandora program. Everybody, look into it. Also, Ross 80. Let's get all the facts we can about this stuff. Okay. So they reactivated that project in 2019, and police civilian denial of space EMF weapons potentially to be used for crowd control. I note the Navy and Air Force both have been developing EMF weapons, and I do wonder about the destruction of cars and buildings on 9/11, whether EMF weapons were used there. An unidentified large white four-engine jumbo jet-sized plane is recorded circling the Twin Towers. Oh. Compare with your story from Rwanda. Yes, right. Do you remember the allegation is that there was a mission to activate the Hutus and the Tutsis into like blind rage so that they would hack each other to death and do a fast-acting genocide. And according to one writer, I forget his name, whose reputation is sketchy, I came to find out, but he said that there was a big Herc plane that sent the microwave weapons down to start that process off. That's a rumor, I guess. All right. Also, clouds are formed by cosmic rays, and I see a potential tie-in there with climate control and EMFs. Apparently, there's a book by Svensmark in the 1990s talking about this. AD worked with the CIA on use of EMFs for mind control. Quote from a book from Phil Coppins. In 1984, Dr. Ross AD, chief of research at the Pettus Memorial Veterans Hospital in Loma Linda, California, obtained from Soviet colleagues what is known as a mini woodpecker transmitter labeled the LIDA and apparently developed by Lev Rabachev and his colleagues in Soviet Armenia. The LIDA operated on a frequency of 40 megahertz and bombarded the brain with low-frequency radio waves. It was used experimentally by the Russians as a replacement for tranquilizers and their unwanted side effects. The pulsed radio waves were said to, quote, stimulate the brain's own electromagnetic current and produce a trance-like state.
Numbing.
So, pacification, crowd control, right. numbing, zombie, zoning people out, creating NPCs, you might say. And I think we're suffering from a giant, giant upsurge in NPC-type people at the moment. I mean, I'm just seeing posts all over about it, about how people seem to have become exceedingly stupid and dull-witted in the last little while, and in your encounters when you're out in the world. And I wouldn't say it's extreme where I am, but it's kind of noticeable that people are just not making any sense anymore in their interactions. Again, not everybody, but a lot of the time. Anyway, I digress from the letter. Here is an extract from the Constantine report that you might find relevant to Rwanda. Quote, aside from having the capability of causing pain and preventing auditory communication, a more subtle effect was demonstrated at the Walter Reed Army Institute of Research by Dr. Joseph C. Sharp. Dr. Sharp himself was the subject of an experiment in which pulsed microwave audiograms or the microwave analog of the sound vibrations of spoken words, were delivered to his brain in such a way that he was able to understand the words that were spoken. Military and undercover uses of such a device might include driving a subject crazy with inner voices in order to discredit him,
right,
or conveying undetectable instructions to a programmed assassin. Yeah, sort of like MKUltra. And a lot of these school shootings, like James Holmes, and if there even was an Adam Lanza. But what about that guy that supposedly killed Joe Cox, the MP, in the UK? They've been talking about programming Manchurian candidate type people for a really long time. And look, they know how to press buttons and they have lots of ways of doing it. I doubt it's a super exact outcome. You know, it's super exact science, but
sure it is.
It's the chaos that they want. They only really need, it's a blunt instrument. Let's put it that way. It's a blunt instrument. I doubt they could make an MKUltra guy like reprogram a computer, but I don't know, maybe they can. Anyway, so the writer of this letter says, or make a Rwanda mob go crazy, Polly, or make a mentally destabilized religious nut believe he, she is hearing instructions to kill from the voice of God.
Right.
Ady was also against overhead power cables, as the EMFs emitted from them are colossal and associated with increased incidence of tumors, especially leukemia, and especially in children. So was against positioning schools and pylons close together. Indeed, in Sweden, then, it was illegal to have a school within 200 meters of a power line. The fields dissipate with the square root of the distance from the source. Ady also showed that pregnant women sleeping under an electric blanket were several times more likely to abort than those who slept under a non-electric blanket. And this he ascribed to the EMFs from the electric blankets. Whoa, I never thought of that. And when I was younger, I had an electric blanket. I used to really like it in the winter. Yikes. As you can imagine, Ady came under attack from many sides, including the power industry, the phone companies, and others. A good book on EMFs I can recommend is Currents of...
All right, I have to add something to that, because I don't sleep on a box spring just because of the dirty electric and power that radiates through the box springs, the metal springs. So if you have problems sleeping or you have aches and pains every day or whichever, consider your box spring, okay?
Death by Paul Broder. Interestingly, Ady was facing criticism from Dr. Richard Worrell, an oncologist from New York, who, with no EMF experience, defended the power companies against Ady for a fat fee. I ran up against this same person when he was posing as a medical expert on hormones, as he also tried to push a drug called gallium as a new treatment for osteoporosis. I showed the drug was in fact toxic to bone and would cause more problems than it cured. Oh my gosh, isn't this just the way with these fake mafia scientists? Like, the medical mafia is just that, it's a mafia. It does the thing where it'll smash the windows and then sell you protection from getting your windows smashed. But this is medical. This is with your body and your children's bodies and your unborn children's bodies. That's what they do. By the way, I'm sorry, letter writer. I keep interrupting your words. Okay. And thank you, by the way, for defending people from this drug, gallium. I've never heard of this. Back to the story. So it caused more problems than it cured. He was clearly a medical gun for hire at a price, a type which we see many of nowadays. Modern medical education and pressures on medical careers causes much fraud to exist in papers published. My family... Oh, I don't know if I should say this part. I'm going to leave it out just in case you don't want to be identified. But boy, boom, the family is involved with a very notable medical... journal. Let's put it that way. Anyway, Polly, rather than write you an essay only to discover you're not interested, I shall stop now. And then he leaves his contact information. Thank you so, so much, GW, I'll just leave it at that, for your letter. and all that interesting information. Lots of good leads there. And if I have time and my eye holds up, I will be, look into it more and produce a video. It's just there's so much going on right now and so much to say. I have many on the burner, let's put it that way, but that was fascinating. And once again, thank you so much for taking the time to write that out. I will drop you an email soon so that if you have more information you would like to send, you can go ahead and do that. All right, everybody, I hope you enjoyed listening to that reading, as sort of clumsy as it was, but yeah, this issue of EMF, electromagnetic frequencies, they've been covering up the papers and the scientists that show that there is potential serious hazard to human health, especially younger children, from all of this electromagnetic frequency exposure. So just take steps to protect yourself. Get out of the soup as much as you can. Learn about it, read about it, and hey, if you enjoyed what you learned here, please thumbs up the video, please comment, please subscribe if you haven't, and head over to AmazingPolly.net where I share a bunch of things from around the net. And also, if you'd like to send me a gift to financially keep this channel going, I would...
If you read Clarence Thomas to courage, he said, thank you, fuck Clarence Thomas.
Oh, fuck you, Clarence Thomas!
Okay, I didn't know that was going to be there like that. Oh, I don't know if there's enough time here.
Authorization, and before we ever had a long-term study, while they were erasing all the control groups, they now want to have a free ride with every future vaccine to just make it, put it out there, and not have to do any safety trials. I mean, this is where it's gone. We have just watched a total rush vaccine. You've watched the worst science ever done, and based on this horrible science, VAERS blowing up, higher deaths reported than we've ever seen in any vaccine in the history of mankind, and God knows how many people plunging face first on the turf of the sports that they're in. This is it, 1,300,000 reports, and we understand that that is only about 1 to 10% of the total amount of injuries if we're to take Harvard Medical School's investigation of the VAERS system. And based on all this, they want a free ride to just keep cranking these out now. Apparently not every year, because as was stated in this VRBPAC meeting, or I don't know if it was the ACIP meeting, the doctor said we're going to need a new one every 3 to 6 months because these things are wearing off. And so now we're just going to keep seeing brand new variants, brand new tests, depression, this virus, and no one's going to have a say in the matter. So you're saying we actually have a say now. How do we do something about this? This is crazy.
Right. So this is on June 28th. It's the meeting. People can make comments now, though. So if they go to, and this was the announcement, but if they go to make a public comment, they can go to regulations.gov, the website, and they go on the comment section right there, and you can make a comment right now as we speak. When you're done with this show, you can go there and do that. But you can also sign up for a public comment if you want on June 28th to make a public comment at that meeting. And that's the way you do it. So this is what we can do to make a difference. Yes, if you're sitting there watching, what can I do to make a difference? It seems so overwhelming. I don't know how I'm going to go against the government. Start with this. Start small. Use what you have. Do what you can.
I'm imagining we have a bit.ly here, but we have a bit.ly probably in your comments right now if you're watching on our website. It's on the screen. Oh, there's the screen. Grab that right there. That's what you want to use. And again, all this information is going to be sent to you on Monday if you're a part of our newsletter. Well, obviously, we've got to get active, people. This is how we get involved. Let's not just watch this. We're just not a show that's going to sit here and bemoan what's taking place in the world. We're actually going to make a difference. We're seeing shifts. We're seeing the government moving in our direction. We sent out a letter, actually, ICANN did, trying to stop this through Sirian Glamstad, our legal team. And so we're on top of this. And by the way, if they attempt to do this, I'm going to just say this right now, that will be an Informed Consent Action Network lawsuit. We will bring a lawsuit against this insanity that you think you've established safety at a level that you can start cranking these out with any variant you well please. Well, you will meet us in court, and that's what you make possible by donating to us. Jeffrey, tons of information there. Just amazing work. I know, and look, that was hard. You had to go through hours and hours and hours of these meetings. I know you whittled it down to, I think, 20 yesterday. I said, Jeffrey, I'm not listening to 20 of these. Pick the top ones. You're doing that work. So I really thank you. Amazing reporting once again.
All right, people, are we going to keep going for it? Are we going to keep believing that these a-holes are in our benefit or for our benefit? Because tell you what, I've had enough of these sons of bitches. I mean, seriously. Hey, as long as I'm not going to fly in any airplane anytime soon, right? Now, that's going to scare some doctors. Because, you know, it's going to... Hey, I will follow the facts, and I will stand up for the right for the facts to be the truth to keep them alive. No matter what. No matter what. Because it's bullshit that we are actually denying our right to freedom to live because of what somebody else is telling us we're supposed to follow their protocol. I gotta have a very hard time about that. I mean, a really hard time about that. Just, we got to get our heads out of our butts and flipping. Oh, my gosh. Yeah, well, I couldn't do that. Maybe tomorrow. But it wasn't going to happen today. Because it couldn't happen today, so... I'll put it in for tomorrow. Yeah, because otherwise, I mean, I only have so much time to get this stuff done or whatever. So I do appreciate y'all flipping joining me today. Please remember, we are listener supported. So hook us up with some funds, if you would, please. And anybody else if you like, too. But I know in my world, this station is getting something done, and it means something to do it. So thank you all again. Yep. I don't want to go out in the other room, but I'm going to have to. Ugh. Have a great Tuesday, y'all. Later.
I go home. People ask me, "Hey, Hoot, why do you do it, man? Why? Some kind of war junkie?" I won't say a goddamn word. Why? They won't understand. They won't understand why we do it. They won't understand it's about the men next to you. That's all it is.
Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, number one listener supported radio, the printing press for freedom at a time when freedom is needed the most.
This is Thomas, a.k.a. a Mad Painter. I'd like you to join me Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for Open Canvas. Don't forget to bring an open mind.
Yes, folks, that's right. Bring an open mind to an open canvas. Again, that is Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern. UFOs, government corruption.